It's good to see everyone out this. Yep, there it is. It's good to see everyone out this evening. Glad we get another opportunity on the Lord's Day to come together and to worship together as brothers and sisters in Christ. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to Micah chapter 6. The points from this evening's lessons will be taken from there, and we'll jump around a little bit, but we'll typically stay in Micah 6 for most of our time this evening. I'll go ahead and apologize. You may hear my voice. I've got a little bit of a head cold going on, so I apologize if I sniffle and cough a little bit in the mic. I did take some cough medicine this afternoon, or some cold medicine, but I also drank some coffee to try and balance it out. So I got a little bit of a science experiment going on up here to see which one's going to win. But hopefully we'll be okay. Micah chapter 6. I appreciate the reading. We're going to focus in on the last couple of verses of Micah chapter 6. I knew it. It didn't work. I made the font of my notes bigger, thinking I could be able to read it without my glasses, and wasn't big enough. So go ahead and turn back with me to Micah chapter 6, and we're going to look at the last couple of verses again together, starting in verse 6. With what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before the God on high? Shall I come to him with burnt offerings, with yearling calves? Does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? The three points we're going to look at this evening, I'll just go ahead and tell you up front, the three things that the Lord requires of us, according to Micah chapter 6, to do justice, to love kindness, or if you're reading from the New King James, mercy, and the last one, to walk humbly with your God. Those are the three points we're going to look at this evening, and we're going to look at how Micah so succinctly was able to sum up what God wants of his people in those three points. To give you a little bit of background here and what Micah is dealing with at the time, the nation of Israel was divided at this point. And in the fairly near future, they were going to be taken captive by the Assyrians, probably just about another 15 years down the road from when Micah was writing this. The Assyrians were going to take the nation of Israel captive. Micah spends a great deal of his writings pleading with the people to turn from their sin and turn back to God to try and prevent this from happening. And here in Micah 6, he's kind of summing that up. He's pleading with the people to turn away from the wrong that they've been doing and to turn back to God. And in doing so, he tells them in a very short, succinct manner what it is that God requires of them in order to be in a right relationship with God once again. So what I want us to do this evening is just to take a few moments and see if Micah was able to sum this up to the people in 735 B.C., what can we take from it today? What can we look at those three points and take away from that in order for us? If this is what God required of the people back then, doesn't he still require the same of us today? And if so, how can we apply that? How should we be applying that to our lives today? So that's what I want us to do over the next few minutes together. So the first point that I want us to look at is the first one that Micah lists, and that's to do justice. In order for us to, I think, really understand this point, we need to really understand what justice is. What is justice? We hear that term thrown around in our legal system sometimes. But we also, a lot of times in our culture today, we also associate justice with some form of vengeance or revenge or settling the score, or getting even, that type of thing. But that is not truly what's meant by justice. Justice, at its true meaning, means righteous or equitable. It's a sense of moral fairness that is being established here. So often we look at that word incorrectly, and it gives us a false sense of what maybe Micah is trying to present to his people at this time. Justice is one of those things that we're all in favor of it when we're on the right side of it. However, when it costs us something, when we're the ones that are having to give up something, sometimes we're not quite as fond of the word justice. But the point that Micah is making here for the people is that they need to embody justice. They need, with their dealings with each other in particular, they need as a people to embody what justice means. They need to realize that when they're interacting with one another, whether it's on a social level, business dealings, or a spiritual level, that there is a responsibility one to another to be fair, to be honest in our dealings with each other, to treat each other as we want to be treated, as Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 7, the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. There's a sense of justice in that teaching. We've been studying in Nehemiah here of late in our Bible class, and in Nehemiah chapter 5, there's a really interesting situation taking place amongst the people of Israel. They're being scolded by Nehemiah because they're not doing this. They're not treating each other fairly and equitably. They are charging each other unreasonable amounts of interest on loans that they've made to each other. They're not being generous with what they have. There's people who are starving, who are struggling with a famine that's taking place, and those who have are not giving to those who don't have. And Nehemiah gets on them about this and says that's not the way that God wants us to be with each other. And in fact, this has gotten to such a serious point in the book of Nehemiah that it had taken them away from the responsibilities that they had at that time to be rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. The fact that they were not being just with each other had taken it to a whole new level. They were now stopping the work that God had for them to do because they couldn't figure out how to deal with each other fairly. That's how serious being just and being fair with one another is. If we're not careful, we can fall into the same trap. We don't have walls to build necessarily, but we do have work that God wants us to be doing, that we need to be doing as a congregation. And if the way we treat one another is getting in the way of us doing that work, then we need to look in the mirror and we need to make some changes. We need to be fair with one another. We need to treat each other as we want to be treated. We need to have, in our interactions with each other, whether it's within these walls or outside of these walls, we need to be fair with each other. We need to treat each other as we want to be treated. And in doing so, our relationships with each other are going to grow. Our relationship with God is going to grow. And the work that He has us to do can be advanced. But until we take on that embodiment of justice, that can always be a stumbling block. It certainly appears to have been a significant one for the nation of Israel in the days of Micah, as well as in the days of Nehemiah. But God set forth some pretty clear standards in regards to how He wants His people to interact with each other. And I believe those standards apply to us today as well. The second one that he comes to is to love kindness. Or again, if you're reading from the New King James, to love mercy. And this is one that I think us as Christians in particular should understand as well or better, perhaps, than the world would. Because we understand as Christians, if we've been baptized for the remission of our sins, we understand that without mercy, we are hopelessly lost. We have no chance of salvation. We have no chance of being washed clean without the mercy of God. We should understand this as well as anyone. Turn over with me to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to get a little better picture of what Micah may have meant here in Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. We'll just read verses 12 and 13 together. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. There's our example. There's why Micah said this is one of the things that God requires of us, because it's a characteristic of God Himself. We get so caught up sometimes in the petty things that take place in this world. So-and-so did something to me, or man, I can't get over this one hang up with an individual that I have or a circumstance that I may be caught up in. And we forget to realize the great mercy and grace that has been shown to us as Christians. Let's not also forget what Christ said on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And I know one day I'm going to stand before God in judgment. And I'll tell you what, I want more than anything to receive mercy. because I don't deserve heaven. I don't deserve to spend eternity with God. But because of God's grace, because of his mercy, I have that opportunity. But it's only if God extends that mercy to me on that day of judgment. If I want that mercy extended to me in my time of need, I better be busy extending it to others now. If I want to show God living in me, then one of the things that I need to be showing to others is a sense of mercy, a sense of grace, a sense of kindness and compassion. That should be one of the things that defines a Christian. Are we compassionate people? Are we willing to show mercy and to show grace to others, even when the world may look at a situation and say it's undeserved? Because again, certainly when it comes to our relationship with God, that mercy and that grace that is shown to us is no doubt undeserved. The third one I want us to look at is one we're going to spend the most time on this evening, and that is to walk humbly with your God. There's kind of two different components to this part of it. The idea of walking with God and the idea of doing so humbly. The first part of that, being humble, I think we understand. But in the context of walking humbly with God, he gives us that sense that we need to realize our position in relation to God. We need to realize who God is, and we need to realize who we are. We are lowly. We are worthless. We are sinners. We have pushed God away on multiple occasions. And yet we still have an opportunity to walk with God. But we first have to realize our position and our relationship to God. This idea of walking with someone, I think, is one that I've been shown by my little girl, who she started walking a few months ago. But you all know how little kids are. They're very unstable when they're walking for the first several months. And they fall down a lot and things like that, and it's kind of funny. But, you know, they come up to a step or something like that, or there's some obstacle in their way, and they know that, they understand that they're not stable enough to get over that obstacle by themselves. And so if you're there, she'll look up at you and she'll reach her hand up to you. Because she knows if she holds on to your hand and you walk together, that I'm stable enough to hold her up and she can get down that step, or she can get past that obstacle and she can continue to walk without falling. That's the picture we're seeing here between us and God. When we look at our lives, when we look at this world, it is just full of obstacles, it's full of challenges, it's full of pitfalls. And without anything to stabilize us, we're going to stumble and we're going to fall all over the place as we try and walk through it. But if we're humble enough to realize that we have someone right next to us who can hold our hand and help us through those obstacles without falling, then we can reach up and we can grab the hand of God and he can lead us through those obstacles safely. That's the picture that Nehemiah is putting before us as he talks to the nation of Israel. They, as a nation, had constantly, it seemed like, been pushing God away, pushing God away. They've wanted to do their own thing, right? They've wanted to be their own nation and do it their way. And they would continually fall and continually stumble, and God would bring them back to him. And they would be righteous for a while, and then they would do the same thing over and over again. Okay, you and I are the exact same way. And we've all heard this analogy 1,000 times if you studied through the Old Testament. We do the exact same things as Christians today. There are times when we recognize the need for God and we hold on to his hand tightly and we walk with him side by side. But there are times when we get so full of ourselves, so confident in our own abilities, that we push him away and we attempt to walk on our own. We attempt to face the challenges of life and the obstacles before us by ourselves. And as we start to walk, we fall. And we stumble. And it's only when we realize that God is still there. He's still right next to us, reaching out his hand, wanting to help us. And if we can put ourselves in our proper position, our proper relationship to God, reach back up and grab his hand, we can walk safely again. God is a just and merciful God. He always has been. That will never change. He is merciful in the sense that he never leaves our side. He's always wanting to reestablish that relationship with us when we sever it, when we push it away. He's there to guide us back. We have to be displaying these characteristics as well if we want to walk with him. If we're not merciful, if we're not just, we can't be in the presence of God. We have to embody those characteristics in order to walk side by side with God. If we're going to walk side by side with him, we also need to develop a relationship with God, which means we need to spend time with him. We need to spend time in prayer. We need to spend time in study. We need to develop a communication with God so that we can be open and honest with him. Let him know our needs. Let him know what it is that we're struggling with at the time. We need to develop that very personal and very real relationship with God, just like that child-parent relationship is. So there's a comfort level there for us to acknowledge our weakness and to readily reach up and grab the hand of God. In order for that relationship to exist, there needs to be some work done on our part to develop it. We need to be spending our time devoting ourselves to building that relationship and remaining strong and remaining in the hand of God as we walk through this world. Micah uses this opportunity also, as he kind of wraps things up, to draw a distinction between the offerings of sacrifices from the old law with what God had really wanted all along from his people. Solomon says something very similar in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 3. He says, "To do righteousness and justice is desired by the Lord more than sacrifice." Sacrifice was a very significant and very important part of the old law. But from the very beginning, that was never what God wanted and desired most from his people. He has always wanted us to be righteous. He's always wanted us to be just. He's always wanted us to be merciful. What we're getting at here is that God wants us to be like him. God wants us to be like him, and he wants us to be with him. He wants us to be like him in the sense that he wants us to do justice. He wants us to be merciful, and he wants us to be with him in the sense that he wants us to walk hand in hand with him through this world. He wants us to be like him, and he wants us to be with him. We've probably all experienced this on some level, and here locally, very recently, we lost one of our sisters in Christ, Rosalie, and it struck me about a week or so ago. Morgan had made an announcement regarding her declining health, and he made the comment that he had spoken with her and that she was very, very confident and at peace with what was to come for her. And that, no matter how often we may witness that personally or hear about that level of faith from someone who is facing death, it still, I think, strikes all of us that at a time when we're facing an unknown or facing death, to have such great confidence and be at such peace with what's about to happen. We have an opportunity to be confident in our salvation as Christians because of passages like Micah chapter 6. Because if we're walking hand in hand with God during this life, there is no way in our time of greatest need that he's going to leave us. If we spend our time on this earth walking with him, then when our time on this earth comes to an end, we can have absolute confidence that he's still right there next to us. If he doesn't leave us during the petty times, quote unquote, the menial struggles that we face in this world, and when it comes time for us to face death and move into to eternity, we can have absolute confidence that if we have lived like God and we have lived with God, that at that point in time we will be with God forever. And because of that, we can have such great confidence and such great hope for what is to come for us. But that great hope and that great confidence only comes to those who are in that situation, who are experiencing that relationship with God. So we're going to close this evening by asking the question, Are you like God and are you with God? The three things that Micah says that God requires of you, can they be said of you this evening? Are you a person who deals with others justly? Are you a person who extends mercy to others? Because God is. That's who He is. Is that who you are? And are you walking with God? Are you humble enough to realize your need for God in your life? Are you humble enough to reach up and take His hand and allow Him to help you through the trials and the pitfalls that this world puts in front of you? If you're not, if you can't say that about yourself, if you can't say that you're walking hand in hand with God right now, then you don't have the confidence and the hope that someone who does and is has. But thanks be to God that He has given you an opportunity to correct that. There is still time. Because we serve such a merciful and loving God, He is still extending His hand. He's extending that grace to us. He's extending His mercy to you and to me. And He's given us an opportunity, no matter where we are in our lives, no matter what we've done or are doing, to reach out, to grab His hand, and to walk humbly with Him for the rest of our lives and for the rest of eternity. So if you need to do that this evening, if you need to either reestablish or establish for the first time that relationship with God so that you can walk out of here with confidence in your salvation, we ask that you come forward and let us know while we stand and sing.